Hello and welcome to the podcast. We've given up numbering them. Number 11, maybe. I don't really know.
Approximately.
Hey, Ailey, what have you been up to this? Well, we've not done it in ages, right? Because we've been really lazy.
Oh, no.
And it's not fair. It's so such hard work.
Sorry,
I don't know how it's
going. There.
Yeah, the millions of fans that have been sitting by their phones waiting for it to come back on. I don't know how it's going to survive December, but we'll just plough on.
It's going to survive. Are you asking me what I've been up to?
Yes.
Right. I have been up to giving myself 3 days to write a 300-word academic essay. So I have nothing to talk about, apart unless you want me to sit and rant about how music has changed in the last 2 decades.
We'll do that eventually.
Because my brain is like minced. But last week, what was that? Was that busy? I don't even think I was busy last week. We were just lazy, Neil. We had a holiday.
You went off and sunned yourself.
Oh yeah, I went on holiday, that's right.
Nice.
You really just drank gin in a different location.
That
was a warmer location.
I needed that. Don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous at all.
I'm just kidding. And then, what have you been up to, Neil?
There we go. Right, getting better at it every week. I made it Christmas videos this week.
Oh, I forgot to mention we've done Christmas videos.
My list is always stuff
and then
that you've done.
Borrowed Blues video came out.
We did some Christmas videos. That was a lot of fun.
No, the Hira Band one.
Oh, we did the Hira Band video for Borrowed Blues. We did some Christmas videos for Borrowed Blues. I've got some mixing projects. I've got somebody coming in for recording tomorrow. A couple of wee photography jobs. More videos with Phil Campbell. Some videos with Anton. Practicing with Anton.
I don't like this bit of the podcast, right?
What?
This genuinely makes me feel shite about myself.
But the whole idea is that you're meant to bring in your list of what you've done. So this is
Neil,
like
I can't
therapy.
Do anything else but write my essay, and I don't know if anybody wants to hear it.
No, but this is why you're meant to say, right, what am I going to say in the podcast? I'm going to make sure that next week I've got things that I've done.
Plus, that's why you can edit shit out.
Yeah.
We went to Inverness at the weekend.
Johnny played with us. Charlie's boyfriend, Johnny Mack.
Johnny Mack.
Johnny McGiffin.
He's a dude, man. I like him.
Yeah.
I know Johnny. I know Johnny for the Arlington Bar.
Johnny,
great.
Johnny came in and played guitar with us.
I think it was great fun.
He's in a band called Blue Milk.
Yeah.
Who are playing
good boys
on the 21st at Howlin' Wolf. They've got a single launch.
Single.
I think it's a single launch.
Okay.
Which brings us on to gigs. So have you noticed any gigs coming up? What have you seen coming up?
Phil Campbell and the Bison Family on the 18th.
18th of December, St. Luke's. Currently Marie Matthews is playing on Sunday.
That's right.
I can't go.
Wesley Chung's also supporting.
Yeah.
Very good dude.
Is it not on Saturday?
Sunday. Oh, Ocean Colour Scene.
Got plans
is it the Glasgow Hydro on Saturday?
Also, did you see, by the way, I'm not totally useless. Looked up some news today.
Right.
The Lemonheads. SWG3.
Yeah, we've got a gig.
Oh.
Bauhaus are playing tonight.
Where are they playing?
Clearly we're all dead excited.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They're like industrial, like kind of goth industrial, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night the Magpie Salute are playing. Do you know them?
No, I don't.
That's the Black Crows after the two brothers have had a fight. And that's like the Black Crows with only one of the brothers.
What happened to
the Magpie Salute? No, he's...
It was a fight after all.
He's off doing the Less Black Crows. Or like, they fought over the name. So one of them's called the
was
Magpie.
Was it quite a vicious fight then?
Yeah. One of them's called the Magpie Salute and one's called like... Chris Robinson sings the songs of the Black Crows. But they're really, really good. And they're playing at the Garage tomorrow night. And I didn't notice until like I looked today, so they've obviously not sold it much to me, but it's proper, like, swampy blues rock. It's really,
are
really
good. Are you going
to go? I don't know.
Didn't see.
This part of me can't be arsed. Because I've been too busy. But I want to be, like, cool and go out there and
Neil, you're such a recluse.
I'm not a recluse at all. I'm out all the time.
I just say it to you because it's totally annoying.
I'm never in the house.
You're literally, you're only ever working though. Like, you never come out for the leisure. Oh, wait, we did go to the cinema the other night.
Yeah. You're just annoyed because I don't come and drink gin with you in Box.
I don't really go out to Box anymore, to be fair.
Who drinks gin as well?
Not me.
Unless it's all that's left.
Barry, 7th of December.
Can't go.
We can't go to that because we've got a gig, but everybody else should go and see Barry.
I love being a musician who can't fucking do anything.
Old hairdressers.
But yeah, totally go and do that. John O'Neill supporting and Cara Rose.
I didn't know Cara Rose was supporting. Yep. There we go. That's a very good gig. We all love Barry's
stuff.
All
my friends will be there.
I should really go to the Magpie Salute. It's like 30 quid a ticket.
Oh my god, I just thought I'd never find somewhere.
Through. December's a dead month for music, right? I've tried to find news and.
If you're willing to wear something to do in Hugman A, you can come and see us in the Ashton Lane Street Party.
Oh, we've got plenty to do, but like.
I know, I'm just trying to promote
in terms of like music.
I think
news.
We should maybe promote that a wee bit more.
But there's no point in promoting it because it's sold out.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it's sold out then, so that's
good.
You
can stand outside.
Stand outside, you'll be able
can
to
can wait outside
it.
For an autograph.
So yeah, we've got loads and loads of gigs, but in terms of like other people releasing singles and things like that, it's not very busy. I bought the Primal Scream record and the stylist broke my record player, so I've not been able to listen to it yet.
Oh, that's really
So,
is that the one with the documentary thing?
Aye, there's a wonderful documentary.
What happened to the vinyl player?
It's the stylus, the needle. You're meant to replace them. They break.
Easy fix, bad fix. It's
8 quid on the internet or something. Depending on how audiophile you want to go. What else? Right, let's formally introduce this week's guest, who is Mark Thompson. Tomo.
Tomo.
Stage name Mark.
Would you be called Tomo or Tomo? Tomo or Tomo?
That's too many posh accents.
What do you prefer to be called?
Straight up Tomo. The end it knows Tomo. Tomo.
You just said Tomo. You're wrong.
No, Neil got it right. Tomo.
Tomo.
Aye.
That's what I said. You said Tomo.
I didn't say Tom, he said Tomo.
Stage name, Mark W. Georgeson.
Georgeson. But if you want, you can really break it down, Georgeson.
Georgeson.
It's actually Georgeson. I'm using the westernised version of the Icelandic version. The Icelandic version would be Georgeson.
Georgeson.
Yes. But the Coatbridge, Glasgow version would be Georgeson. So Mark W. Georgeson.
So, how do we know each other? I can't think.
The Bar Dogs.
Drinking music. No, it's before that.
Drinking music.
Drinking music's definitely a good way to start.
That's how I know you though, right? The Bar Dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you two go way back.
Not way back, not much more. Maybe 6 months, a year previous. You were playing with Morgan, I think, at the time. Edwards, sorry.
And you were doing.
I was kind of starting.
You were doing your solo stuff. Yeah, I think we both played at Tuts. I'm sure I probably.
That's right. Morgan played a gig. It was a Summer Nights gig.
I think so.
That's right. That's been a bit. That could be right.
Yeah. Can't remember how. I feel as if I've known Tino longer, but I don't know.
It was me, Tino, and Michael that night, I think.
Yeah. Carly Connor, though. You were recording Carly.
No,
I wasn't playing with Carly, but that was...
I'm lost.
So...
Time skills are way off.
Musical history. Velveteen Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your first band? What did you do before that? What was your...
No, I played with... I mean, the Velveteen Saints was a band, obviously, but the guys in the band, myself, Tino, there's another guy called Sean Hughes, Yogi... they'd been in a band previously called The Roots, and again, guys I know from Coatbridge. I don't know what happened to them. I was working with Tino at the time, and the bass player left. I didn't play bass, and it was like one of those things, like, Robbie was kind of writing songs myself, just under, not, there was no guys, it was just like writing tunes in your room, you know what I mean?
So this is like teenager stuff?
No, well, I suppose so, aye. And it's like, just didn't have the confidence really at that time to do anything about it. Okay, you know, it's like the small towns, you're playing, where do you play, you know? You don't know anybody, you know? I was like, I'll play the bass, your bass player's left, played the bass, but because I worked with Tino, you know, I wrote some songs, and before you know it, you know, things progress and you start playing some songs. But that Roots thing didn't last. Well, they'd been playing as the Roots since they were like way early teenagers, and I liked their band anyway, so that was it, and didn't last too long after that. Then before you know it, that kind of split, in a sense, can't quite figure out how, but it did. And the Velveteen Saints thing was, well, to start with, me, Yogi, Tino, that's how it started. And then young Michael Gain get involved in the drums, and that was what it was. And that went on for maybe 2 or 3 years. And
you did quite well, you know?
Aye. I mean, it was great.
What was the greatest touch? You supported The View.
We did a massive tour. Like 52 dates around Europe and all of the UK with The View. But in the same year, we played The Isle of Wight, we played Tina Park, we played Kendall Coyne, played pretty much every big festival you could imagine under the sun, with the exception of Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Man, it was great. It was good fun. Looking back on now, it was just great fun.
Yeah.
There's not really much more to say. But we released a couple of kind of singles. Didn't really do anything, but it was like, you know what it's like, you know? Just do these things.
Trundled on. So how did that end?
Well, at that point in time, we had a label at the point in time, an indie label, and some management and stuff. It wasn't the way you thought, in my personal opinion. It wasn't the way you thought it was going to go. And you like, well, if you're not happy doing it, what's the point?
Yeah, you know, totally. Like,
not to say that we were falling out, that's nothing to do with that, but it's like,
It just petered out.
Aye, petered out a wee bit. I mean, after when we literally came back off the back of that massive tour, and it petered out pretty quickly, in my opinion. It's like, is this even what you want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, no. And then we just did a kind of, what I did with the guys, I don't know, those conversations, is like, enough's enough, you know?
Yeah.
And Yogi went to you, he was going to uni anyway, so it's like, well, everybody's thinking about other things, so it's like, well, that's the type of music that we're doing. It's like, you don't really know what I do, you know? Which is all cool, I mean, so, but it wasn't to say then that I thought, well, guess what, I'm going to make a solo album or become a solo artist. It's just like, just get back, do the stuff you want to do.
Yeah, just enjoy it, that's the thing. It's
not
like
enjoying, it's all about enjoying it.
It's enjoying it, what's
the point? I mean, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too, like...
So who was the label?
The label was it was a Glasgow-based label at the time, based out of Gobblestone Studio. I'm not sure if he's even still a label. It could be, I'm not sure. I think it was G Sound or something like that, but it was based out of that studio.
Yeah.
I know the studio still kicks about as a studio. It's a crank studio. I mean, state of that.
Is it Gobble Sound?
Gobble Sound, aye. Mm-hmm. It's a class studio. And we were very fortunate to be able to do that stuff then, with that band at that period in time. But I couldn't tell if it's still
there. So then after that, you started doing solo stuff? Straight away,
in everything? Oh, aye, pretty much, aye. But I mean, there was just loads of ideas, because there was 3 songwriters in the band at the time. It was me, Tino and Yogi, all songwriters, but we'd bring stuff in, stuff would work for the band and stuff wouldn't. And it was like, well, okay. I just thought, like, at that point in time, I hate to pigeonhole it, but it's like more folky, acoustic kind of country stuff. And it's like, I'd rather be doing that at that time. It's like, so it wasn't a case of like, oh, let's write new stuff like that. So, well, there's loads of shit hot songs, in my opinion, sitting here.
Yeah.
Just
got on with them.
Good, man. See what happens. I'm not going to fit in a punk rock and roll pop band, you know. So, fuck it.
Mm. And then you brought out a single on Last Night from Glasgow.
Well, aye. Well, I went away and recorded a full album before that. I just fucking done it. And it was like, I kind of wanted to sound like this. And that was it. And then I'm at pure chance meeting with a guy called Murray Easton. It was a Charlatans gig in Edinburgh. And he was talking about starting out that label. And the label wasn't even in existence at the time. And I'd recorded the record. I said, look, can you send me some stuff? I said, look, I'll just send you the full line. I mean, I've just recorded it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. He said, cool. Send him it. And then, literally, January, February next year, so I think it was around about October, November, I got a message from him saying, look, we're starting this label, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you want to come for like, not a meeting, but it's like a coffee thing, you know what I mean? And that was the kind of start of it, you know? It's like, we're starting this label, we'd love to bring out this single. I was like, okay, cool. Just go with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So was that their first ever release?
First ever release.
Yeah, I thought it was. Cool. That came out as a 7-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you recorded with Idlewild's Rod Jones.
No, I recorded the full album with him before that.
Right. Oh, so that already existed?
The previous year...
I was going to ask where the missing album was.
No, the previous year was... Right, I get it. I just contacted him on Twitter, would you believe?
Right.
This is what I'm thinking of recording an idea. The album, and they'll get back to me on Twitter. That's the benefits of social media, because you can contact anybody who you want. They dig it, they don't. And so I recorded the full album. And that's what I sent pretty much to Murray.
And that was up at Post Electric in Edinburgh?
No, that's only new. No, that was up at Chamber Studios. So Rod was working out of there previously before he started his Post Electric studio, which I think he only opened maybe the year after.
So what drew you to him? Did you know his production work?
No, I didn't, but I'm a massive fan of Idlewild. Right. And at the same time, the album sounds nothing like Idlewild. but at the same time, I was a massive fan of Idlewild's kind of more acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
So that was like, well, that's kind of the vibe I'd like to try and go for. And that's where that came from, actually.
It's pretty cool. I've got the album, it's over there, isn't it? Cool. And what have you done since? You've been to Iceland multiple times.
And one of the songs, the first release was a split double A-side. So you've got the first song, which is signed by myself and a girl from just in the road called Katie MacArthur. And the B-side, sorry, double A-side if you want to call it, is the exact same song but sang in Icelandic by two friends of mine that stay in Iceland. And we split it. So if I'm singing the main part, and the English version, and Katie singing the kind of minor part, if you want to call it that, it's split so that my female friend in Iceland is Sigrithur Thorarassus is singing the main part, and Anna Gudnonsson is singing the other part.
Yeah.
So it kind of splits it that way.
Yeah, that's good.
Quite a unique release for a label as well.
Definitely. Yeah,
to split it as a double A side plus two languages.
They went from strength to strength. They've got creative funding, Creative Scotland funding. And
oh, they have, aye.
Bigger and bigger and bigger. what's the next plans?
Me? Yeah. I've been working on some new stuff recently, just writing and working away. I mean, I don't put any pressure on myself. I mean, those days are long gone, man. Just do what you want.
You did a wee tour with Barry.
I done a wee tour with Barry.
Right up north, very up north.
That was last summer.
Any further north and it would be Faroe Islands.
Well, I went to the Faroe Islands this
year. You did, didn't you? I thought it was you.
So, not with Barry, unfortunately, but it got funky enough where I didn't need Barry there.
That's the first time I met you at Barry's house.
Barry's house?
Yeah. First time I remember.
Well, I thought you can remember this back.
It was like summer and you guys were all round and I came round after I finished work. And we were just playing the guitar and stuff like that. Me and Marlene were there. And Chloe. John. Yeah, that's the first time I met Tomo. I was trying to think. I was like, I can't just have randomly just met him through the bar dogs. I think I'd actually met him.
Sometimes people, you know, it just kind of grows with you.
You don't remember.
Although I kind of assume that that's the case for most folk, but I'm now, every day we've had on so far, because it's on my list of structure,
how do we know each other?
And I've realised that I remember. I was really surprised Charlie remembers the same version of us meeting each other as I do. That amazed me. Because it was quite insignificant and we both have drank a lot.
Thinking about how we met, it's not really that clear.
It's not that significant.
It's not.
Lingering.
So what's your football history?
My football history, I played football predominantly from the age of 5 right up to the age of 19. Playing with lots of different clubs. Professionally, if you want to call it, at Dundee United.
Right.
I also played with affiliated clubs like Tranmere Rovers down south, where they used to take us down to the Wirral.
Yeah.
And that was great. And so you were meeting people for, it was all based, that was the boys club days before it became the pro youth. Then when they went to Donated, that was the, what we now know as the pro youth. So that was an amalgamation of people from Aberdeen, Glasgow. We used to train up at the Maryhill complex there.
Yeah.
So that was the Glasgow complex. We used to train at Hamilton, I don't know why. And then the Dundee contingent / East Coast contingent, sorry, would be Aberdeen guy. They would travel down to Dundee to train there. But we played a lot of games up in Dundee. And then I just got to this point. I was released. I was losing interest anyway in playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I still love football. I'll watch any football. Mm-hmm. Because any football I enjoy. Like the Winters Gills is a Celtic pub.
Yeah.
It's my local. Michael John's a Rangers supporter. He drinks round that pub because it's round the corner from him. Not just because it's round the corner, because it's just a good pub. Yeah. And the people in it are good people.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, to me, that doesn't matter other than that. It really doesn't. And if you're a good cunt, you're a good cunt, you're a bad cunt, you're a bad cunt. But in my personal opinion, yes, and this is my opinion, I predominantly find that Rangers supporters, not Rangers supporters, I don't generalise them, are definitely the bitter contingent cause of this. But then...
Do you support a team?
I go and see Aberdeen Rovers because it's my local home team.
Yeah,
but I don't go to them every week because I don't stay in Coatbridge.
No, but you don't have an opinion on Rangers Celtic?
Yes, I do. I do, of course, because I grew up in it.
Right.
But especially growing up in Coatbridge and especially growing up in a Rangers family.
So if it's Rangers Celtic, do you care who wins?
No.
Right.
No.
So you're like me, right?
No. Like I just told you I went to go and see Celtic versus Aberdeen, who I grew up as a childhood fan, as an Aberdeen supporter, and still looking for the results in a Celtic pub in Coatbridge on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, when Celtic won, Celtic scored, I was like, jeez, I was the only one in that pub that probably didn't jump up and cheer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, it's just a game of football, isn't it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was with my mates and it's all cool. And similar to how I go to, there's only two Rangers pubs in Coatbridge. And there's times I'll go and watch Old Firm games. Again, maybe my brother or my Rangers supporting mates. But that's the thing of it. Lots of Rangers supporting mates. And lots of Celtic supporting... Sorry. I've got lots of... It doesn't bother me.
Bring it down.
It doesn't bother me at all.
No.
Because I can take this wee step back and think, I'm very much a supporter of the underdog. And probably always have been. And I suppose... And some kind of, if you'd a psychologist sitting here, they'd probably tell me, they'd be able to tell me better why. I don't know why I started supporting Aberdeen.
I think anybody that doesn't support Rangers or Celtic tends to support the underdog in any kind of Scottish match.
I'm not sure.
I didn't, see, my dad supports Air United, so I didn't kind of grow up with much
not
opinion 100%. On Rangers and Celtic. But in saying that, folk, you might be the same, I don't really know. Like, I feel like I've been assigned a religion. My religion, because I'm not Catholic, therefore it's assumed I'm Protestant.
Yeah,
I'm
we
no more.
That's exactly the same with me, right?
I'm no more Protestant than I am Buddhist.
No, well, exactly. I'm not a Catholic, I don't go to chapel, but I'm not a Protestant. But I was brought up in the church, but not. It's not Protestant, it's not protesting against Catholics. So it's like Christian, if you want to call it that then. The Christian church.
I don't even know that. Genuinely.
I was brought up like the same as you.
It's like, in here, that church was in Govan. I mean, albeit we were from Coatbridge. And, it just was what it was, you know? But football, they've connected in a weird way, but they should
They shouldn't be.
And it's presumed, this times I've met like lots of people involved in music, and it's after a few drinks or after people have taken whatever they want to take, it kind of gets brought up. I suppose maybe when I was a bit younger, I would maybe keep a lid on it as such, but I'm like, no, I'm not a Celtic supporter. But by the way, I'm not a Rangers supporter either. And people are flummoxed. It's like,
I feel like a kindred spirit here.
It's like, what do you mean? I'm like, oh, what do you mean? I mean, it's like, what? I'll go and watch my local team. And I've only started doing that maybe in the last five years or something, right? The Rovers, right? But I used to do it as a kid as well, because they used to give you free passes with the schools. They used to top in these like wee plastic passes, like kids getting for free under 16 or whatever. It was a day out in the afternoon. Fine, the football was terrible. But it's still terrible. I mean, but it's actually more fun now, because you witness what's going on. You witness the ball boy getting a player hassle. You witness a fan getting the ball boy hassle. And him turning around saying, oh, who you calling fat? You're fatter than me. It's brilliant. But that's pure genius.
It's different. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a football fan, so this is the way I see it, right? So, Rangers and Celtic and all that kind of league is like the big league, right? And then you've got these like sub. Is that like subdivisions?
Ailey, right now, Albion Rovers are bottom of the bottom.
Yeah, but then
which is quite terrifying for me in the opinion, because I'm not going to watch them against. I don't. Next season, I mean, they go watch them against. I don't even know what teams are below that. I don't know.
What are they in the third division? They're not juniors.
No, they're third division. They've introduced in the last three seasons a relegation system where the Highland League and the Lowland League, the winners of them play a kind of playoff, and then they go up and the bottom team goes down into whatever. Well, depends on where they are, obviously.
What league would they go into?
They go into the Lowland League.
That's what it's called?
Aye.
The Lowland League?
They've kind of generalised it,
so
aye.
Is the Lowland League different from the juniors?
Aye, or juniors is completely different from what we would call professional football. But actually, the weird thing is, and this is how stupid people are, you can get paid better money playing
aye.
Junior football than you can playing in the third division and second division in Scotland. But it's because it's in the senior league, It's like, it's all pomp and circumstance. It was all written by guys wearing blazers, and it still is. It's nonsense. It's pure nonsense. But I do like that kind of reaction. No, look, it would take too long to explain. And to be honest, I can't even explain it. But sometimes you just recognise stuff that's crazy and you're thinking, geez. And sometimes you recognise, like, there's no point in even trying to delve into that. And it's like, I mean, this, if he... I'm not going on a mad rant here. But it's like, you've got these guys are members, and there could be a guy from Arbroath. And Arbroath are maybe the same league as the Rovers, maybe the league above, right? But quite frankly, they have no kind of say on modern-day football because it's kind of stuck in the past. But these guys decide how the top end of Scottish football works. But a lot of these guys are on to wear their blazer with their badge.
Yeah, it all gets decided in the golf course.
100%.
And it's...
Money breeds money, and it's...
Not even money. It's just that their pal has got money that they play golf with. And they're like, well, I'll take a football team. At least I'll have something.
I find it quite funny, and maybe a bit longer I didn't, but now I find it quite funny. I mean, it's like, that's why I said that. I mean, that's like, I was about to say, and like I say, you assume I'm a Celtic fan, but I don't know why you assume I'm a Celtic fan.
Because you're a musician, and all your mates are Celtic fans.
Yeah.
But they're not.
All your musician friends are Celtic fans.
And that's the kind of weirdness.
And the people that associate you with are Celtic fans.
Yes.
But I know you through music, so I know you and your music friends.
Of course. And quite frankly, there's not one musician fan, friend I could say off the top of my head. I mean, not by the same. I know mates that play music, but they don't play actively. I mean, it's guys that maybe play the guitar or piano,
like they
but they don't actively
like
do it. Yeah. I mean, they don't actively play and perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are they musicians? Of course they are in their own right, but they don't actively perform it. Which is a difference. And again, Neil made a great point about maybe it's this kind of,
I think it's the Irish tradition, honestly. I honestly think there's an Irish tradition that has lasted longer. I think the Scots probably had it as well, but the Irish have lasted longer of the family getting together and everybody getting past a guitar for a song.
Aye.
And as a result, I have a lot more.
It's a kind of Celtic thing, it's a kind of West Coast thing. I mean, that includes, I suppose, if you go up the West Coast to the islands and the Highlands.
Yeah, islands and Highlands, they've got
Of course, the Irish connection there is massive too. I mean, Gaelic derives from Gaelic. Mm-hmm. So,
Scottish music.
Scottish Gaelic is actually Irish Gaelic, and it's just derived, mm-hmm. and that's where it came from. But it's like we've passed down instruments. Whereas the kind of thing we were talking about earlier on, it's, I don't know what it is either. I don't know, but it's like, you're not.
Put it this way.
See, Norland's Lodge, they'll no pass around the guitar. I went,
they pass around a flute.
Actually, I don't think
to a non-denominational school. We'll do inverted commas in non-denominational school because it means Protestant, right?
Ah, well, if you want to put it that way, especially in Coatbridge, it definitely
the
did.
The songs were Protestant songs that you were singing in assembly and everything.
We weren't in ours.
No. Well, I was. I would say.
They were very staunch, kind of like, if you want to call it, they weren't Protestant songs. There was Catholics in my school, but it was in the Catholic town.
I think there was the odd Catholic in my school. I mean, we didn't really. Ayrshire's a bit backwards. My dad criticised me for saying that Kilmarnock was scummy in one of the podcasts. I stand by it.
Why did he criticise you?
Like, you better not go to Kilmarnock.
What was that thing as we were talking about the other day? That, like, because obviously you're from Ayrshire, right? I'm not really familiar with the class of anything through there, but everybody always talks about it being, like, really scummy.
Well, I think it's quite similar to Clydebank. It's definitely working class. And Ayrshire's also a massive place.
But all these places we're talking about, working class, Coatbridge, Motherwell, they're all working class towns, just different areas. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like.
But there's definitely a religious divide in that the area I was in was very non-Catholic. And that I remember kind of asking my mum, why is there that family in the village that don't go to our school, where is it they go? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
But the fact you've named the word village.
Yeah, of course, of course. No, but I'm talking about all the villages. So all the, there was probably about.
So it's a collective of villages. It's not exactly a town then.
Yeah, exactly. But the 12 villages fed a Catholic school in Cumnock, which about the time I stopped high school got shut down and they all started to go to the one in Kilmarnock. So it was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But I mean, there's wee towns that fed my school where the paving stones are painted red, white and blue and there's Union Jacks and orange flags outside the
I mean, but then how can you explain something like Lark Hall, which is just up the road?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so bizarre. It's kind of like here. It's like, I mean, what is that?
Right, but what I was about to say is that I've got a lot more friends on Facebook that are called Liam and Joseph and because for some reason musicians are predominantly Catholic or Catholic
but is that ancestry. Is that to do with the fact that you don't keep in touch with your old school friends then?
No, it's there's school friends in there, but the I would say 70% of my Facebook friends are musicians that I work/know/whatever, and they are absolutely predominantly Catholic, Celtic.
Which is fine.
Catholic origin. I've got nothing against it. I find it's interesting socially that music has clearly come through. I don't think there's a genetic difference.
No, I don't think so. I think
there must be a social difference in the role that music has played in those families.
I do agree to a point, and I don't quite know why, but I do agree. But I still find it quite. I find it quite personally amusing when people assume that I'm one way, and then they get a shock that I'm not, because like you say, and like you've said, it's like, well, does it matter? I don't think it does.
No, not at all.
Well, of course, we
still kind of say it as a kind of.
It's almost a joke, but it's not.
A joking thing.
And it's like, it's just one of those things, you know. I mean, the school I went to in Coatbridge now doesn't exist. I mean, but it's like, that's what it is, you know, it's like, jeez. And again, I think once you develop an interest in music per se, what really, seriously, that all goes out the window anyway, in my opinion. It does, to meet the dead enemy. I mean, I was never that involved with that nonsense enemy, but because I think it is nonsense. I mean, I couldn't give a fuck whether they were Catholic, Protestant. I mean, if you're a cunt, you're a cunt. If you're a good cunt, you're a good cunt, and that's all that matters. And honestly, I've lived by that since I was about 13, 14. Honestly, and I still stand by that.
But I honestly do.
And so I've got mates that are massive Rangers supporters and go to the games. I've got mates that are massive Celtic supporters and go to the games. And like as you said, I went to watch that game out in Coatbridge. I could have went with my cousin. My cousin offered me a ticket for the game. My cousin, who I was talking about earlier on, who was an Aberdeen supporter, offered me a ticket for the game. And so in the Aberdeen end, I was like, that's Baltic, man. I'm just not that interested. I'd rather sit and watch it in the pub, have a few beers.
And then you can have a chat and, in the comfort of a pub.
In the comfort of a pub.
But
it wasn't a neutral pub. It was just a pub. It was a Celtic pub that I was meeting. Exactly. I went to meet young John MacArthur, who's just had a... His Mrs. Dion's just had a baby, and it's like, I'm going to see the baby, and I knew that I was doing it, but it's like, well, guess what, who cares? It's like, you're going to meet people for a good occasion, and there was no grief, there was no hassle. I bet you if they'd try and go to the game, there'd be more hassle and grief than there would be sitting in a pub.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, well,
there's been numerous times that I have went to watch the football in a pub, and I do not have a fucking clue about football, but I just go because... I want to go.
Aye,
I'm the same. You do it,
do you have any? Yeah, I wouldn't. Unless it's the World Cup, then I'm not going to rush to the pub to see a specific game. It's not like the Old Firm comes on and I'm like, oh, we have to get to the pub.
The Old Firm games for me become a bit more tricky because I get mates of both sides asking, right? And it's like, because I don't really care, you know? Don't know, I'd like to see the game, but I don't really care. You know, I don't care who wins. And when I say that to people sometimes, they actually don't believe me. I'm like, fine, don't believe me, you don't want to believe me, but I really don't care.
I'm the same.
And it's like...
I just don't like football, but I don't care.
Like, it's just one of those things. It's like, I suppose maybe because you're conflicted in a sense, but not really, because I don't care. Quite frankly, I don't really care about Rangers and Celtic. I'm an advocate of underdog. And I always will be. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. So, the big news this week in your music career is that you've put out your Christmas single.
No, that came out last year.
Yeah, yeah, but you've reposted it or retweeted it. I think you did that really, really well. Because you demoed it before you went up to Iceland.
Yes, 2 years ago. Apparently.
Is it that long ago?
Aye.
But was it not a year ago that you released it?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd played Iceland Airwaves in 2000... Jeez, what year is this? 2016, which is November. Every year. And again, I think mentioned previously, John MacArthur, Michael Geen, who are good friends of mine, who were in the Bar Dogs,
mm-hmm.
and Michael Geen had been in the 2015 Saints as a drummer, I somehow wangled a slot at Iceland Airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, guys, just want to come along? And I'm like, aye, let's do it. Bashed out, and it's the first time they'd been to Iceland. I'm a wee bored about Iceland because I love Iceland, and if anybody likes Iceland, they can check it themselves. It's class, that side. So they come up, and they fell in love with the place. Of course they did, because it's awesome, right? So guess what? Came back, and John, it was actually John MacArthur, who is predominantly, I'd call a lead guitarist or a lead guitar player, had never written a song, he's Puff. He came up to me and said, I've got this idea for a kind of Christmas idea. Don't know why he came to me, you need to ask him. And he came up with the riff, which is the riff, and the very opening line. I'm like, this is literally the week after we came back. I'm like, well, I love it. I was like, cool. And we bashed out, got a few cans, sat in my flat, bashed out, you know, illusion of a grandeur, if you want to call it. I'm like, no, I'll contact Abnar and all these people in Iceland. We'll record up there, fuck it, let's just do it. But I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, not the next day, obviously. Too fuzzy for that. Maybe a week or so later, mm-hmm. recorded a week in a mash bash demo that night, though. And we're like, ah, cool. And we didn't really think much of it, so that led us into the January. it was too late to kind of record something or whatever for that year. And it's like, well, we say too late, just we didn't have the, well, money or whatever. We just weren't the same, the zone, but yeah. I was like, let's do it. And that was the plan, basically come the January, February, if you want to call it, and it's like, let's do it. And like, Michael, do you want to play drums? Aye, cool. Because he'd been and loved it anyway. And let's hook up for the next year. And that's what we did. And we went up, done it, bashed it out. Lots of tuning and throwing. Neil knows, so do you obviously, about how tuning and throwing special engineers and producers mm-hmm. can go. Bear in mind, he's in a different country, so it took a lot of tuning and throwing to go to yeah. get to that. You know, it was like, and then we released it in 2017.
And it, what happened? It went to...
Yes, for surprisingly.
Yeah.
And even still, weirdly, it's very weird.
It went to number one.
Number one in the country music charts.
The country iTunes music charts.
Country music charts.
And even still to this day.
It was a Friday, because we were all out in
different places. It came out on Fridays. Standard releases come out on Friday these days. It was just digital, obviously, but... It was like,
and we were all messaging each other and like screenshotting the chart, and it was like it went in it, like somebody noticed that it was at like,
it was Gary John Keane, who's right. the bass player for the Proclaimers, again from Coatbridge, and he was like, I don't know how you noticed this. He's like, I don't know why at that time, like 1 a.m, he noticed this, like, so getting into the Saturday, this is like 128 in the charts. So I don't know why, obviously, because he's very good friends with Michael and John, but I mean, we're friends too, but it's like, how did you notice that? Why yeah. did you notice that? And it's like, shit, I woke up in the morning.
Then messages get sent.
That was and it. And it just like, kind of like, spread like a wildfire.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's at 93. It's climbing. Do you know what I mean? You were so chuffed that you'd seen somebody in the iTunes chart.
Of course, aye.
And then, like, every time you looked, it went up. And then it got to, like, maybe 13 or something like that, and you thought, oh, that's as high as it's going to go. But you thought, right, let's start sharing it and encouraging folk to uh-huh. to buy it a wee bit.
Right.
And then before we knew it, it was at number one.
Absolutely.
But it was like as you watched it climb, like, obviously country's not big enough to have like the chart.
No, we're not talking thousands and thousands.
But once you got to the top 10, it was Hurt by Johnny Cash, 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Right. Like there wasn't any Christmas singles in it.
No.
And it was obviously just the stuff that is just the kind of background noise of country music that is just always getting bought. But yeah, you sold more than Johnny Cash that week.
It was like, well, I don't know. Honestly, I genuinely don't know. And it was like...
That's mental.
But it was a cool day because, obviously, I woke up in the morning, I'd been out in the piss up the night before. I think, but did we meet the night before as well?
I've got this kind of romantic memory of everybody being on different nights out, and just every now and again you would get a text message with a screenshot of the iTunes chart.
It came down the... That was the Saturday morning, definitely. Because it came out on a Friday, and it was like, ah, okay, it's just a Christmas single. And Neil, we'll get to that later on, had... was working on a wee kind of video, which we'd planned to come out the week after, is that correct?
I can't remember.
And it was like, it was just like to keep the content up, if that's what I call that. But this was like, well, what's this? And and I had to message John, and I had full intentions, as I usually do, to go out to the pub on a Saturday, watch the football that's on, and get pissed. And that was exactly what I'd done on the Saturday, but the difference being is like, shit, this song of yours is kind of climbing the charts a wee bit. I was like, John, I think you should get your arse in here, just in case.
I could just imagine being in that situation, but and like laughing at what is happening. Like, obviously, we all write music that we would wish that would happen and stuff like that, but you, as you say, you shouldn't write music to achieve that.
I kind of felt a wee bit embarrassed about the whole situation.
Really?
Because it's like, you had people contacting you, maybe it's... Yeah, people contact you, they hadn't heard from donks, like, years. Like, alright, it's like, but what does that actually mean anyway? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't know.
But he's not like sitting there just being like, can you believe this? Like, can you...
Oh no, there was an element of that as well, of course, but at the same time, it's like, that's what's like, John Gisland, he came to me with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, Let's go for a... Mate, fuck it, whatever you're doing. Let's go for a piss-up, just in case this gets any further. Sorry, Dion. You're lovely. This is girlfriend. You're lovely, but guess what? This could be something. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. And we've been round to the usual pub that we always go to, the Winners Gels, had a pint, watched the football, and it kept rising and kept rising. And obviously Neil was on the text, it's like lots of people were. And I think it wasn't just ourselves that got caught up in this, I think it was quite a lot of people out with that that maybe get caught up in it a wee bit. I mean, it's just a bit different, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody really enjoyed it.
It was like, what's going on here?
But it's a throwback to when being in the charts was like the epitome of how well you could do. Obviously that
of course it's not quite the wayside. Pop charts, but it's like, you know, it was like the fact that somebody noticed it was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. And even then, like, you screenshot that and you have that as a selling point. I think that's brilliant.
No, I mean, yeah, that's a moment in time that nobody can take from you.
It's unique, and you're like, oh. Look,
and guess what? I'm not exactly
Christmas number one.
I'm not exactly it wasn't Christmas number one. I'm not exactly a proud person per se, but guess what? You know, you're right. It's there. It got to number one in an actual official chart. Doesn't matter was it a day or 2 days or whatever. It was there, and it's like, who cares? You know. And I don't brag about it. I don't go on about it. It doesn't matter. But it was quite cool. And that's what I'm saying. When John finally said, "No, I think he was going. He went for lunch with his mum. That's what his plan was." I was like, "Good on you, mate. Get to the pub. Come on. Football's on 5:30 and all. Come on." Stop mucking about, came down. And it was like, and I think it got there about maybe 10 o'clock ish. We went for there, the Winter's Gels day, went to the Arlington. It was like, let's just have a pint. And the two shot up the road, chat. There wasn't like a big, massive extravaganza. It's like, this is pretty cool, isn't it? Amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been, that's a long time to make, just to record a song.
Go all the way to Iceland as well. Obviously, it was more of a
it's more personal
thing for you guys to do that.
Okay, cool. And that was it. And then, as I say, obviously, Neil would come round, and previously we've been working on trying to release that video. And it's. It's simple as it is.
It's a athletic video, but it was quite well for the tune. It's a lovely picture.
It was an amazing photo. Again, there's loads of background story to the whole song.
That's the thing, because there's so much time spent in that. You demoed it before you went to Iceland.
We demoed the song before we actually recorded the song.
That's the right way to do
it. We demoed it, and it wasn't like we ever thought it was going to be a hit. I mean, the lyrical content's got nothing to do with being a hip pop Christmas song, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's a wonderful, happy story of local music.
The lyrical content's basically about, we at that time thought the commercial bullshit of Christmas is like, look, writing about people that are really, well, we say people, couples or whatever, it's basically based around couples that are struggling. It's like, look, fuck it. I mean, you don't need much if you're in each other's company, you really enjoy each other's company, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter where you're, that's where the fake beer tree comes from, so that you get the beer. Fir tree is like, well, the fir tree being the Christmas tree, obviously. If it's beer, you can't afford to put the baubles on it. Who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a fake fir tree, if it's not a real tree, who gives a shit? It's all about you just having a wee dance and just chilling out and enjoying each other's company. But that's what the verse is about too. It's times you hate each other, it's times you love each other. Look, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really matter. It's like, I think it's kind of popping in sound, but people can take what they want, but it's like, nah, we didn't expect that, and it was cool. The hand.
So, normally what we do is we're really prepared for these podcasts and folk talking about one of their favourite albums, but let's just talk about Christmas tunes. It's actually 100%. One of the reasons I do this podcast is because you've been around here drinking, and we've had so much fun talking about music. I remember we sat here listening to a Miracle Glass Company album.
Want a vinyl. I'm not sure if they're still available.
And we must have listened to it about 8 times and just talked about how amazing it was the entire time.
Was that when you still drank?
Yeah.
No, of course. I just wondered if it was. I don't know if it was that time that Tomo came back I was steaming and I don't remember.
It's happened several times, and I thought we have to start capturing this. Musicians talking about songwriting. Musicians talking about music, etc. And as a result, we've done the podcast and see what form it takes. Let's wait for Ailey to get back from her piss and then we'll talk about Christmas tunes and then we're done.
Yeah.
Christmas is the way to go, man. It's Christmas after all. Not quite, but it's the whole month should be about it.
That's already an hour and a bit. No, we've had kind of bothered. Like, first few weeks were great because I was talking and I think Ailey was still quite, the novelty value was there. And she was happy to listen to me talk about music. Then eventually, she's like, I didn't listen to that shit you asked me to listen to this week, Neil.
You can nail it down as quick as you can.
And we ended up, some of them were like 3 hours, 4 hours. And I've got to listen to it to edit it.
No.
So it's just the job gets so much bigger. But I think if we make it as easy as possible and just keep on doing it.
I'm with you, man. That's the issue with you, man.
But aye, there's loads of folk went on.
The problem is, I don't think NGBP planned.
That's, if it's difficult, does it work?
No, I mean...
So it has to be chilled, just talking.
Turn up, talk your shit, fuck off, and it's done.
You need to have a wee bit of structure to it. Or
on your side, definitely. But
when Charlie was here, last week or the week before, or whatever, she could have talked non-stop forever.
Aye. I suppose we all could, but... It's like, what do you want to talk about?
Stuff.
Oh, but I mean, no, quite frankly, like, what do you want to talk about? And it's like, A, B, C, done.
Yeah. Right, so, we're meant to be doing albums, but let's say, since it's Christmas, we'll talk about favourite Christmas tunes.
I know what
What's your favourite Christmas tune?
Me? Mine? Yeah. 2,000 Miles.
By the Pretenders. Why is that your favourite Christmas tune?
I don't know, I always just like it. It's quite an unusual... Well, obviously, the obvious choice would be Fairy Tale of New York, but... And I love that song. But awesome. I love 2,000 Miles.
A lot of radio stations
like I that. Actually sat and learned it on the piano today when I should have been writing my essay. But
that's,
I mean...
That's real procrastination.
Yeah. But what's your favourite Christmas song?
The obvious one's Fairy Tale of New York. John Lennon, Happy Christmas, War is Over. I didn't realise until kind of adulthood... how good that is, because you just get, it kind of blends in with the greatest hits of Christmas. Mm-hmm. You don't really think about it, but to be that famous and to do a song and War is Over if you want it, it's quite dark and quite an important message.
I always think that, you know how the Christmas song Band-Aid,
right?
I'm sorry, I don't understand, like. And I don't know if this is stepping on anybody's toes, if, like, you... I don't know, do you know the person that's, like, wrote the song or something like that?
No. Alex's mum does, but...
Yeah, that's what it was, okay. But the... I don't understand. I sing the song, I know the song, but it's, like, there won't be snow in Africa and all. Like, it's just... It's quite dark. Like, see, if you were to play that to somebody in Africa, would they not be like... Fuck you.
Well, I think when it was there's a really, really bad version from about 4 years ago. It was playing co-op when I was in, and they've changed the lyrics because some of the lyrics are quite dodgy. There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas. There's a lot of Africa's a lot higher than a lot of Europe, and there's always snow in Africa.
So, no, but not even just that. Just the fact of, like, let's remind all the poor children that they want.
It was.
I think it's just bad songing at the bottom. I think it was just bad songing.
Uh-huh. I think it was made with good intentions.
Yeah, of course, it made good intentions, but come on, as Neil just said, there's plenty of places in Africa that get snow. So it came out with, there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas.
Well, actually, there will be.
It's just a bad line.
Yeah.
It came off the back of Live Aid.
Of course it did.
Or was it before Live Aid? I think it was before Live Aid. So I think it was 84.
But they've done it so many times with new people.
The original is the
You got to stick with the original, let's be honest. It's not as if change the likes that much.
Do you know what? We should have definitely have not have said our favourite Christmas song. We should have said that our favourite Christmas song was Tom's Christmas song.
I'm not even on your table because you can't pick
then
one.
There would be no discussion. Do you know what I've remembered? Pearl Jam released a Christmas single.
You were singing it in the studio
every year. There's a 7-inch gets sent to the fan club, and I've not been in the fan club for
why not a long do you time. Have to pay
I've just, you have to pay, and it's quite complex, and it's I let it drift. They weren't very up to date with internet payment methods. I think you had to send a check somewhere and couldn't be asked, but there's a 7-inch comes out. It's some of the most collectible things they've ever done, because I think there's about 100 in the first year, And it was always quite good. Some of them are Christmas songs, some of them are not.
It's mental how, though, like, I've known this for years, everybody's known this for years, but, like, you can go, like, you're going to Spotify and just write in, like, the Christmas playlist or whatever, and you can listen to all these Christmas songs. Music in Christmas is such a thing. Like, everybody gives the Christmas single a go. Like, not many people are successful as Tomo's, but, like,
it's not even that successful.
What?
Well, it's not even that successful, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, you got... Right, well...
Number one, Christmas number one.
But, like, and then we were trying to find... to listen to the songs for the band.
Yeah.
And every song has been covered by every single person.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone actually own the rights to a Christmas song, or are they just brief everyone?
Noddy Holder.
What?
Noddy Holder. You're just looking at me here like, is that an implant of clothing?
Is that a sexual innuendo?
Noddy Holder is the singer for Slade. It's Christmas!
Okay.
And depending on what pub you hear the story in, he apparently makes $500,000 every Christmas without getting out of his bed.
Which I can kind of believe.
Yeah, I think it might be more.
Shame the guy.
Michael Bublé must make a good... Oh, well, it's all covers though, right?
What?
Michael Bublé?
No, Michael Bublé's all covers.
That's what I mean, but he must also make some money.
I bet you Shane McGowan makes more.
Shane McGowan will make more.
The bigger the Christmas song. But mind, these songs are getting played. Not mine's, obviously.
Constantly.
But these songs are getting played all day, every day.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's like Noddy Holder's guaranteed an extra $3 million a year or something like that.
No.
Do you know any other Slade songs?
Good question.
Exactly. So he's managed to have a... There are other Slade songs.
There are. Some good songs as well.
Yeah, but he's essentially managed to have a one-hit wonder, which pays him several million every year for the rest of his life. And that's Wizard even more so.
I would say so.
I forget his name. With the coloured specs. Is it someone Wood? Oh!
Ron Wood?
Ron Wood.
It's Ron Wood, isn't it? It's not Ronnie Wood, obviously.
It's Roy Wood. Roy Wood.
Roy Wood. Roy Wood.
I think.
I don't think he's related
to him.
I can still see him, even though it was way before my time, in that video, with a big beard.
Yeah.
Genius.
All of them get sax solos.
Yes.
So they work well with the band.
It was the 70s, come on. Yeah. It was the 70s.
Yeah, like, a sax solo is a Christmassy thing. It's not, like, you know what I mean?
How many sax solos on 80s Christmas songs? Not many.
Right.
It's all about
Waves. I think probably the best one. I was in Denmark once with a book of Christmas song chords. So I know.
I just imagine you walking about with.
Well, I was just I had a lot of downtime, right? So I eventually knew the songs relatively intimately. But you're just sitting there going, you know, Last Christmas is an absolutely banging tune, right? And you're sitting through the chords. Last Christmas is a really, really good tune. They're all so overplayed.
It's a cracker, though. Yes.
And it's also quite morose, the chord structure and everything. Last Christmas I came out of the very same way. You know, it's quite doer. So there's no like fixed structure, fixed model for a Christmas song. '70s is dum da dum da dum da dum da sax solo, kids singing along and sax solo.
But see, because I think Last Christmas is still pretty pop.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, let's be honest, Mac's pop Christmas thing was pretty downbeat as well. Simply Heaven. For Mac, that's quite downbeat, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's a sign of the times at that time as well.
Yeah.
It also helps if your name is Paul McCartney, it's going to sell.
Bum, bum, la la la.
But I mean, then I think after the 80s, the kind of Christmas song, honestly, kind of.
The last decent one was
Mariah Carey.
Of course.
And that's it, she wrote that. That's a really good song.
She wrote
I'm
it.
I'm sure that's the 80s as well.
Must be the
case. I think it's the start of the early 90s.
91, 92.
Somebody would need to Google
that. See, maybe 92. Late, very late 80s or early
90s. I would even push to 93.
That's bold, Neil. 93. After Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Wait,
94.
Wow. I have to be the winner in that one. Wow.
Yeah, you do, you do. You can be
I
the winner.
I can't think of one after that.
And then after that just becomes, well, the 90s thing kicked in a whole different thing.
X Factor killed it. X Factor killed the Christmas number one.
That's what, the 2000s.
Let me try and think of, one that's came out after Mariah Carey.
Oh, there's loads that
there's
came
the
out.
Darkness.
No, but one that's
the darkness,
good.
But that was
the
never
a hat. Yeah,
the darkness.
It's never a hat. No, but it still gets added to the lists.
No, but no, it doesn't, though. No. It gets added to like B and C lists. Yeah, see if you look at all your compilations.
Oh, definitely.
It's nowhere to be seen. It's a cracking Christmas song.
Yeah. You find out that the darkness have got one, you're like, oh yes, let's make a playlist. Let's make an alternative playlist.
But
Killing in the Name Of was Christmas number one 1 year. Just to...
So was Mad World, for fuck's sake.
Was it?
Mad World.
And I think Bohemian Rhapsody in 1991, because I think he died in November.
No, Mad World was a Christmas number one in like the 2000s, albeit a cover. I mean, fair play, you know.
What are we going for?
Well, right. Could you say that, you know how sometimes when John Lewis do the advert and they sing?
Okay.
So they go to number one or something. Lily Allen's went to number one.
But it was Lily Allen covering the band that doesn't have guitars, that only has keys.
Keen.
Sorry, my brain's quite associative.
How can you fucking remember that? Not remember. Also, a girl called Gabrielle Aplin done a song, The Power of Love, covered that for one of the adverts.
Yeah, so the trick is to do a cover and to do it slower.
With a piano.
With a piano. So it doesn't really matter what you're covering.
Plus it also helps if it's on an advert.
Yeah. So you John Lewis advert, slow down a popular song, play it in the piano and play it with more minors. Do you have the time
to listen to me whine?
There we go, that's next year, sorted.
I honestly think that the kind of art of the kind of Christmas pop song, if you want to call it that, died in the 80s.
Yep.
Exclusion of Mariah Carey, clearly.
Yeah.
That's why I think the more alternative pop songs, their Christmas songs, are actually just more interesting. So basically from the 90s right to, well, now, in my opinion, more interesting. They're never going to sell. They're never going to be number one. They're never going to be anything. But they're
but
not
I
interesting.
Would, I would... I think you'll probably find that the darkness... So they've got... I believe in the God of... And then they've got that Christmas one. The Christmas one is probably their second biggest money earner because it will get...
Regular play,
it'll get added to playlists, and it'll just be getting churned out constantly.
I don't deny that, but guess what? It won't be getting churned out as constantly as I think it should be. Because it was written, it could be a song from 1978, but guess what? It's not, and that's why it's not churned out the same way.
I think that's just lazy playlist making.
Of course it is. Who makes these playlists?
I would love to know who makes Smooth Radio. Is it automated?
It could be.
Does somebody make a big bucket, or is somebody literally just playing
Spotify? Do they not have like A lists? And then the B lists?
Smooth, really? You think they
go that far? Smooth, maybe not.
You know the ones that don't have DJs on them, that just churn out stuff?
Somebody's got to be automating that.
Yeah, it's just getting churned out.
It could be
but
one
guy. To be fair, Smooth always play the same songs. Like,
yeah,
I think they play Easy by the Commodores like 5 times daily.
Yeah. Yeah, there must be like about 80.
But I suppose, I mean, smooth is smooth, you know, I mean, how smooth do you want to be?
Smooth operator!
I mean,
they probably play that multiple times.
I'm not exactly going to play the Pistols sex song, sorry, the Pistols Christmas song, so it's like, well,
what's
it's not
the
quite.
Pistols Christmas song?
Oh, they covered, the Pistols covered a Christmas song. It's like, it's a classic, obviously, but it wasn't like. The name starts being kind of pissed. The Pistols covered it.
I can't think what it is.
Fuck, it's some ridiculous. It was never released, obviously.
Sid Vicious did My Way, I think.
They're not exactly going to play Sid Vicious My Way on Smooth. I mean, just because it's that song.
But,
is there any Christmas songs you hate?
Me?
No, yeah. Me personally, no.
Because the Sex Pistols did Jingle Bells.
There you go. I mean, jeez.
Some of the songs annoy me.
They're not exactly
going to
play that smooth, are they? Of course I'm not. I mean, cheers for Google and Neil. I mean,
it annoys me when
fucking bonkers.
What annoys you?
It annoys me when people like cover the songs and that. No, it doesn't annoy. Sorry, that's the wrong. I don't. So there's a few covers of Christmas songs that I don't like. But I don't not like any Christmas song, I don't think. Apart from, like, see all the, like, really...
schmaltzy.
The schmaltzy old ones that are just quite depressing.
Like the Kenny Crooners ones?
Yeah, like, they're, like, pure old-fashioned Christmas
songs.
They're
some of the best, though.
I don't like them.
Some of them, I don't think I can put them all in the same bucket. I think some of them I love, especially because we used to play them on the brass band at school.
Maybe.
So like we really, the gigging got really heavy once you're in the brass band, because that's when brass bands come to the fore, and you just played in cold shopping centres for the entire December.
My dress and hats on.
Aye, not getting paid, because you were like 12, 13. But like,
wear stupid outfits, aye, playing brass
like
instruments.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Did you have a choir too?
No, that was just me singing the brass part. But like the you didn't play an awful lot of that stuff because it's that real classic. It's that point where pop music was written by classical musicians. You know, when it was like the big, it was kind of probably 40s, where you're coming off the kind of big band tradition, and the palette that you've got to play with. This is kind of pre drum kit almost, that you've got like oboes and clarinets and everything. So everything's kind of played with that kind of massive, overly written, like we did Santa Baby the other...
Good point about pre-drum kit stuff. That's a great point. Great point,
Norse. We did Santa Baby with the band the other week, and the if you listen to some of the arrangements of Santa Baby, like the kind of diminished chords.
I noticed that when we were playing it, because... I think I was the only one that recognised the diminished chords. Not to put anybody in the fire here, but because it, I don't know. But then I was like, oh, that's quite interesting, and it works really well.
So like it's a style of music that you don't necessarily play that often.
Mm-hmm. It was quite. Yeah. I thought it was quite jazzy piano.
I don't quite know what the genre is. Just. Supremely professionally written.
And it was also quite interesting to talk about the other day about Baby It's Cold Outside, how it was quite, it's been banned from a lot of...
Baby It's Cold Outside has been banned from a lot of playlists because of hashtag Me Too.
And you, it sounds...
At first we were like, that's terrible,
it
then you listen,
even sound
then
bad,
you listen to it
like,
and you're like, alright,
it's like, say what's in this drink.
What's in this drink? Baby. Nothing Bill Cosby. And Fairy Tale New York's getting banned from
what?
Playlists
because
it says faggot. And I'm sure they're just talking about a beef dumpling.
I'm sure they are.
Maybe there'll be a re-record.
To be fair though, it's but Kirsten McCall,
yeah.
She's no longer.
Yeah, she's dead. But Hitler's dead and we're not allowed to play his.
I was listening. Neil,
that line you're talking about got brought up just recently about.
That's what we're saying, they're getting removed from playlists. Maybe it's cold outside, it's not
it's
in playlists this year.
No, I've seen that as well, and I've also seen that line about obviously the Pogues and Kiss McCall. I don't know what to say about it, but it's like, it's different times, I'm not sure.
I don't know, I think I've kind of always known. It was a bit harsh. You're like, whoa, that's a bit harsh.
But, and
so
that's
it's there
society.
It rhymes with maggot.
Exactly.
Really?
But is it to do with the time and place and when the song's apparently written? Where it's like, calling someone that is possibly, at that time,
was the most likely
line, or what you would call someone.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it wrong. I mean, calling someone this or that, but you reference it in a period of time. It's almost a history lesson. So I'm not defending it, but at the same time, I'm like Will saying, depends where the song it's come from. Let's ask the song here.
Yeah.
Instead of just banning shit. It's like, well,
I think you'll find it's there'll be a re-recording of it eventually.
Of course, I think it'll get filtered out at some point.
I think that's the way society
is. If not this year, well, not clearly not this year, but next year, the year after.
But so, it is close to a perfect song.
I think it is a perfect song. And I think if you listen to the lyrical content and even watching the video, it's set in a time where that type of lyric would have been acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's not saying it is, but. Jeez, you know.
No, I think it's. This is the first generation that has started to. Maybe it's Cold Outside is definitely a wee bit rapey. Say, what's in my drink?
But it was last year, and it was the year before.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But we seem to be more sensitive to that now. Uh-huh. And I've always known it with Fairy Tale in New York.
That's the one song I'd actually say I'm definitely on with. See, Baby It's Cold Outside, I've never thought about it.
Right, I know they're a bat, and this is the
connotations to that, but I've never actually thought about it.
But think about it, right, you've got all these, like...
Is that my fault, your fault, I don't know.
You watch movies, you watch soaps, you watch all these things that have these storylines, and it's like a creation of art. It's like this song is a narrative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how can you ban that? That's like banning...
Well, you can.
Well, the TV shows you're talking about generally have to put a number up at the end where they say if you're affected by anything in this programme, there's people you can talk to.
No, you're right.
Baby It's Cold Outside.
If Bill Cosby has prepared a cocktail for you, call this number.
But here's the thing, does that then label down to your radio?
Or Tom Jones.
Does that mean after 10 o'clock you can listen to certain songs? Because that's not a thing.
But it sort of is. You're not allowed swearing on commercial radio.
Is that something they need to try and look into introducing? Because, quite frankly, I mean, we could ban the first 5-6 James Bond films.
Yeah.
For domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. Watch this come up Christmas, New Year, they'll all be on.
Yeah.
And then they've got to kind of make this kind of watershed. But you've got it right already. So, in that sense, like, you can only say things, certain things after this time. So why can't the radio then do the same?
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly. it's about what's saying, what's right and wrong.
Yeah, I find it unlikely Andy's going to listen to a Christmas song and think, oh, that's what I'll do. I'll drug somebody's drink.
We've all said that we did not see that in that song.
Mm. No, it's
definitely there, but we were sitting in the car going, what is that? And then we went,
yo, whoa, that's
and
bad.
We nearly covered it in the band.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't generally hear lyrics or listen to lyrics. I've said that quite a few times. But there's a few songs. Roy Orbison, I Drove All Night,
uh-huh.
Just to Get to You. Is that all right? And then I crept into your room while you were sleeping. And it is really, really dodgy.
But is it not something to do with if a girl sang it?
No, that's Eternal Flame, which I always think.
Uh-huh.
Close your eyes, give me your hand. I watch you when you're sleeping, you belong to me. If it's a guy singing it to a woman, it'd be totally different.
Exactly.
But it's Neil Shusey, those lights are very blatant and straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hidden in imagery or poetry. So, I mean, with imagery and poetry, you can kind of take what you want from it. Those lyrics you just said about Roy Orbison, so should we start banning Roy Orbison? We could do, I mean, and it may happen.
I don't really know. I don't think it's...
Spit it.
I don't know, I think it's about the sentiment wasn't thought of as a dark thought.
No, I don't think so either.
What have you got in my drink? Is she saying
vodka,
it's a joke?
Like,
she's saying it's a joke.
It's a joke.
I mean, again, she's back to that original song. I don't know, because I didn't write the song. Was the song written as a dark thought?
But then, there's loads of songs written as a dark thought. Like, think of that there's quite a recent song by the...
Dark and Sinister Thoughts. If it was, I don't think the song is even alive. So we can't ask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... But now it's offensive.
But there's plenty of songs coming out now that are defensive.
Of course they are.
Blurred Lines? That was ridiculous.
Blood Lines is really, really bad.
It's really bad.
But yeah, by the way, you get any loads of pubs in the town, it's still on.
Still playing. Marvin Gaye wrote it.
Yep, they got taken to court.
Have you heard the Marvin Gaye version?
No.
It's really blatant, but it's really, really clever. It's like the entire thing is identical, but no two notes are the same. Like I can't quite.
What song is it? It's supposed to sound like again.
I don't know, just type in Blood Lines, Marvin Gaye. And it's stylistically they are identical, like with the cowbell and the kind
but
of.
But surely the lyrical content's different.
The lyrical content's different, but the song, there's no way that they've not sat down with that song and said, right, let's rip off this Marvin Gaye song. Right, will we tie it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll do it again soon. Hopefully we'll have one next week, but who knows? Bye-bye.
Bye.